Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, listeners, and welcome to another edition of Weekdays with Murph. Today we're going to do things a little bit differently. While my co-host is traveling, we have a special guest co-host with us up for the show today who's agreed to step in. I consider this person a very dear friend, and I'm so glad she agreed to do this. So let's welcome Kathy to the show. Hey, Kathy, how are you?
Hey, Cody, how are you doing this week?
Pretty good. Just trying to make it, you know.
Yeah, I do know. It's been a long week. I'm glad that it's the weekend.
Yes, it has. You know, as I was saying, off air and just a minute ago, I appreciate you doing this.
Oh, it's not a problem.
I know how much you enjoy it, and you actually filled in for me about a month ago, so.
Yeah, it's always fun when you guys invite me to come play in your sandbox for a little bit. I always have a great time.
It's always fun having you, you know. So, anyway, on the G8 this week, what did you think of it?
G8 this week. Well, you know, it's funny that the beginning of the week probably had a lot more going on than the end of the week. And I was just finished watching today's episode probably about 15 minutes ago. And it was really just kind of a quiet episode to end the week. But there's a lot of really cool stuff that happened earlier in the week that made up for that. But for me this week, the biggest thing probably was Sam and Patrick in Amsterdam, and Sam having some really, really naughty and very hot thoughts about Patrick. That was fun. And just putting the two of those actors in scenes with Jane Elliott, I mean, I love it. When one of the things I love about Cartini is that they're not afraid to mix the canvas up.
Right, I agree.
Scene partners together where they don't normally work together, and you never see scenes with Jane Elliott and Jason Thompson, and they just play so nicely together. You've got that automatic just rolling of the eyes that you see Patrick anytime he's listening to Tracy go on about her stuff, and you know, of course, you've got Kelly Monaco in the mix too, and that just makes a really good actor chemistry between the three of them. So I really enjoyed those scenes a lot this week.
You know, and another thing that I really enjoyed seeing, even though we haven't seen his face yet, just, 99% of his face, I'm loving the chemistry that Becky Hart and Billy Miller already have. I'm loving that chemistry.
Oh, yeah, they're really, I mean, that's something else. I've been laughing this week because, you know, for anybody that follows me on Twitter, probably knows that I loathe Jason Morgan with a passion. The only person I may loathe more than Jason Morgan on that show is Sonny Corinthos. So my hatred for Jason and Sonny are very, very pure. But I find myself kind of liking Jason right now, and I don't really know what to think, and I'm kind of bewildered and confused. And but the chemistry with Becky Herbst is just fantastic. I mean, they're really playing well together. I'm interested to see. My guess is probably that they're going to go the way of forming this tight bond and this tight relationship between the two of them. And then, of course, when the reveal comes out, and that's going to bring Sam into the mix, and that should be really interesting. It's interesting that they're going immediately for that triangle again. Hopefully they won't make it too terribly predictable, because you never know how chemistry is going to shake out. And until we see Billy Miller in scenes with Kelly Monaco, we don't know if there's even going to be chemistry there. So, and that would also put Sam juggling a lot of balls in the air. You know, you still kind of have that unresolved stuff going on with Silas. You've definitely got the heat and the chemistry and the buildup that's going on with Patrick. And then throw Jason into that mix, and it starts getting a little too the ball heavy, I think is a good way to put it, you know. Everybody loves Sam. But we'll see how it plays out. I mean, I'm definitely enjoying him. I was a big fan of his scenes on Young and the Restless. I do not watch Young and the Restless, but this year in prepping for the daytime Emmys, I watched all of his scenes. with the Delia storyline over there. And he is an amazing actor, well deserving of Emmy than he won. And I can't wait to see what he does on GH.
And I first heard of Billy Miller, or a Killer Miller, as he's called in the industry. I first heard of him on All My Children, and I'll be honest, I didn't really much like that character that he played on AMC. But when he moved to Y&R, I was hooked.
Well, and I've had several other people I've discussed Billy Miller with say the same thing, that, well, not necessarily that they didn't care for the All My Children character, that they've actually said the opposite, that you could really tell that his talent was apparent in All My Children. Unfortunately, that was the period of time that I missed of All My Children. There was a good long stretch where I didn't watch AMC.
Right.
And that was, he fell during that time. But I'm really looking forward to seeing how well he does. You can tell that everybody really likes working with him so far.
Mm-hmm.
His coworkers have had nothing but amazing things to say about him, both from Y&R and from GH so far.
Right.
So I think he's going to be a great addition to that cast.
I think so.
You know, it seems like from interviews I've read with him, he does really have a huge ego. You know, he's and they're very willing to work with him schedule-wise, which was point of contention that Y&R was, you know, he wanted outs to be able to do his other work, and they weren't willing to do it. But with GH cast being, what is it, almost 30 people now?
I think it's almost 30, yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely room to rotate around and let him do what he needs to do when he needs to do it. So.
Oh, I agree. You know,
now if we can just get all those bandages off his face, we'll be good to go.
Right. And I've always said this about Billy Miller, and I saw this on Y&R. That man can go from "I love you to death" to "I will rip your throat out" and rip you to shreds in 3 seconds flat.
Well, I really can't wait to see how he's going to interact with everybody. Surprisingly enough, I'm actually really looking forward to seeing what's going to happen with you know, Sonny, because that should tell you right there how intrigued I am by this, because typically any scene with Sonny and it's automatically fast forward for me.
You're not a Sonny fan.
Well, actually, it's not, because I like to hate tweet about it. But
I know your hatred of Sonny.
I am interested to see what kind of dynamic they're going to set up with them, you know, whether we're going to have a Jason who doesn't remember anything about his past and never does, and is completely repulsed by the idea of hanging out with people like Sonny and Carly, who are not good people. So, it's definitely an interesting dynamic. I know something Steve Burton was never willing to play was Jason regaining his memories back as a Quartermain. I think that was very short-sighted, because there's so much gold there to mine. Just the guilt of having to live with what he's done as a hit.
What he's done, exactly. Right. I agree.
Is enough right there to go forward with. So I'm really looking forward to see what they do with them. Hopefully they'll take it to its fullest potential.
You know, and another on-screen and off-screen friendship I'm loving is the Maxie Lulu friendship. I love it.
Yeah, I'm glad to see that back too. It really was kind of odd. You know, I can remember 4 or 5 years ago thinking, how are they making these people best friends? Because there had been so much water under the bridge with Maxie and Lulu, where you know, Maxie doing these terrible things to Lulu, really, and you know, Lulu being in the midst of all this and having so much grief as a result of Maxie's actions. But I think eventually they just had to make them friends, because there weren't any other people their age that were on team.
Right, exactly.
But over the years, that friendship has really gotten great, and it was something that was really, really, really missing during that period of time where they weren't talking to each other.
Right.
So I'm glad to see it. I'm also glad to see Lulu doing something other than talking about babies. The baby rabies was too much, and it's just...
It was too much too soon.
And while I know that they've kind of made Lulu and Dante the tentpole couple here, you know, they're the unbreakable mm-hmm. couple on canvas. Just watching them go, ooh, I love our baby. Ooh, let's have another mm-hmm. baby. Ooh, we have an egg here. We could have a baby. You know, it was getting just too much. So I like to see them interacting with Nathan and Maxie, trying to, mm-hmm. advise them on what's going on. Lulu back to her, you know, there were a couple of nice scenes. I can't remember if it was end of last week or this week where Lulu, you know, saying, hey, that's not my dad. My dad would never do that. You know, moving into that, yeah. the whole Luke storyline.
I think that was this week. Which,
yeah, and so I'm glad to see her, you know, looking at her life around her and not being so mm-hmm. obsessed with, you know, with her uterus. It's been refreshing.
Right. You know, and I'll be honest with you, an offense to Julie Berman at all, but I'm loving Emmy Rollin in this role.
Yeah, I made the comment the other day that, you know, whereas, I mean, it kind of makes sense to me if you think of it in this way, where we always had Julie Marie Berman seemed like she was very much, her Lulu was very much Luke's daughter, and mm-hmm. M. Rylan is very much Laura's daughter.
Laura's daughter, right, exactly.
And you're seeing basically those two elements of a character, but to be completely frank, I'm at the point where I really like M. Rylan's better. I like that more mature mm-hmm. Lulu than the one that was kind of spoiled and piggish and just mm-hmm. would get, you know, stomp her feet if she didn't get her way before. I like this more mature yeah. version of Lulu. Lulu was always just one of those characters I could take or leave, but I really like mm-hmm. Lulu now. So I think that's to her credit, and it's no offense to Julie Marie Berman, who was a really great actress. She grew up on GH.
Oh, yeah.
I could start there, but, you know, that character, it needed to grow up, and Emma mm-hmm. Rollins is the person that made her do it. So
absolutely.
I really appreciate that added that actress.
I agree 1,000% with that. And that makes me think I need to... I'm just putting this out here. I'd love to have Emmy Rollin on the show sometime. I'd love to have that lady on the show.
Well, you ought to see about trying to get her. She's pretty active on Twitter, so there you go.
Yeah, exactly. and while it may not be the most professional way of going about getting these actors on, a social media and Twitter does work. I mean, you know,
it does, and most of the time it's very. That's another thing I love about the GH cast too is that, you know, a lot of the times they're very social media active. Yeah, they're very social media active. They're very approachable. They're very mm-hmm. appreciative of their fans. And they,
I agree.
You know, a mark of a good show is when you know that the actors that are on it love being a part of it. And, mm-hmm. you know, I've not seen many of the GH actors who don't watch the show. You know, I mean, you know, you'll even see them tweet about how they've fallen behind and they need to catch up because they're so excited
exactly.
to what's going on with the other stories, which I think is the mark of a good show. And it's definitely a great cast too. You can watch them. Well, that was another thing this week too. I love catching those scenes where you can look at the actors and you can tell they were having an absolute blast mm-hmm. with each other.
Uh-huh.
And that's anytime you see Lynn Herring and Jacqueline Zeman in a scene together
mm-hmm.
and they've got Bobby and Lucy snarking at each other like they did this week. And oh my gosh, mm-hmm. it's so great because you can tell these are total pros having so much fun.
And they love what they're doing, you know?
Having a good time with what they're doing, and
exactly.
it's enjoyable for the fans to watch, too. And
exactly.
You know, so that was great to see them all. Although mm-hmm. they do have, apparently, the drag the vets out of the designated vet closet day, apparently. they all seem to come out
on the
same.
I did see you tweet that yesterday or something like that.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, yesterday's episode, we had, Scott, Lucy,
Bobby, Lucy, and Anna
all, uh-huh. all sharing themes together. And I was like, oh, okay, someone opened the vet closet door. And and then we also had Monica this week going on a date. How about that?
Right.
Now, granted,
right.
the date got hijacked by Judge
yeah,
Walker.
Yeah, but, I mean.
leaving her halfway through the date to go boss around Maxie and Nathan. So by the end of the date, I was going, okay, she needs to dump him. But it was nice to see Monica out and doing something, although, you know, I'm holding out hope that Alan's in a closet held off by
somewhere. Yep.
You know, I love my Alan and
oh, I know.
And I hate that I hate that Stuart Damon is apparently in, I don't know, the rumors out there are that he's in very poor health and I hate that because I would love to see more of him on GH. It just, you know, those once a year visits or so, it'd just be nice.
Right.
More of them.
Right. Well,
More or less given up at the fact that I know that Alan is probably never coming back from the dead, so.
Right, well. Anyway, on the show, we like to do what's called a prime performer of the week, where we pick, and for me it's always hard to pick one actor that stood out for us this week. So, what's your pick?
So, what is this, the best actor or the worst actor?
It's just like the best actor that stood out to us, you know.
The best actor, that's tough this week. There's a lot of really good work going on, but I have to say that, let's see, I kind of have to go with Roger Howarth here, because he was really putting in some fantastic work with Franco juggling all the emotions about what's going on with Carly and Sonny. And, you know, he knows what's going on. Here you have, you know, Nina trying to talk him down. And let me just say how brilliant it is to have Michelle Stafford and Roger Howarth in these scenes together, because they have such great chemistry. And I don't necessarily mean romantic chemistry, although, you know, it can be that way too.
I understand.
They have such fantastic chemistry together, and I love any of their scenes. They're fantastic. But here I am feeling, and Carly is somebody I've never been fussed one way or the other about, you know, as far as a character goes. She does a lot of stupid things, but you always see her vulnerability. So I've never outright hated Carly quite the way I did Sonny and Jason. But she has been made completely unsympathetic. Here I basically have been... Because he is such a great actor, and because he's bringing out such the vulnerabilities, and you can see his hurt, and you can see, you know, what's going on in his head and how rejected he feels, here I am cheering for a serial killer over somebody that we've had on the canvas for, you know, what, 20 years? Almost 20 years?
Exactly.
So, I mean, I have to say, he just had some really good work this week. It was very subtle. His comedy is always something I'm a fan of. So I would have to say he would be my best performer of the week, just in general, but especially the day where he was, you know, ready to give up his little creepy eye necklace thing and then happens to hit it and turn it on and realize that Carly has slept with somebody again. That the fallout from that and his reaction just was a fantastic set of scenes.
It was.
And
you know,
Stafford giving this amazing assist right there with him. So, yeah, he's definitely, he would have to be my performer for the week.
Absolutely. And and Roger Howarth, he does, his comedic timing is just perfect, I think.
Oh, it really is. And I'm able to swallow Franco a whole lot better if I keep the threat of Todd Manning in the background in my head, which is probably not entirely fair, but it doesn't matter. I just love him. I love him as an actor.
It is what it is, you know.
I love what he brings to the show. He's won me over. The character Franco has won me over because I kind of just pretend he didn't really exist before Roger Howarth. So, however it needs to work, and we soap fans will swallow a lot to make things work. So that's
exactly exactly.
Just basically,
you know,
dream away the rest.
You know, and for me, my a prime performer of the week. All right, I'm just gonna say this. I'm not a Silas fan at all. But when he caught Nina red-handed and was reading her like a book, that was kind of cool.
Yeah, you know, I like Michael Easton a lot too. And he was somebody I was less familiar with because I was never really a big One Life to Live watcher. I'd seen threads of it over the years. But when he came over, especially as John McVane, I just loved John McVane. That was a great addition to the cast. I hate Prospect Park for what they have done with ruining that set of characters that we had,
right.
Although I really wasn't fussed one way or the other about Star. You know, I didn't miss her at all. Because actually the character of Kiki is as poorly developed as she is at this point, is still better than Star. but Michael Easton, I feel like he's really been this role of Silas. I kind of feel like it's really unfortunate. I love him as an actor. I think he has great chemistry with Kelly Monaco. I think he has really good chemistry with Michelle Stafford as well, but I think this character is just holding him down. I couldn't really get in Silas and Sam except for the initial attraction that I think was just kind of left over from Sam and McVane. Once it started rolling, though, I was like, okay, is this it? And it just, it seems like he is so surrounded by sadness that it just, it really, it's soul draining after a while. And I do appreciate his humor and his sarcasm when he brings it in. I think it's, you know, it's evident, and I've always thought Michael Easton was a good actor, you know, even as far back as but at the same time, they've got to do something with Silas. So it's nice to be able to see him have some meat where he gets to play a little bit of range, because right now pretty much his entire life, the character's entire life is, woe is me, I have this situation, woe is me, I'm just going to kind of sleepwalk through it, woe is me.
Exactly.
And they really, I really think it's unfortunate. They really do a disservice to Michael Easton, because it could be so much better. I am at this point not a Sam and Silas fan, just because it got so mopey that I just couldn't stand it anymore. And I definitely think she sparks much better with Patrick. I'm definitely on the Samtrick train right now. But at the same time, I really wish they would give Michael Easton something a little bit better to do. It's like he's kind of an afterthought in his own storylines, and I think that's unfortunate.
I was a One Life to Live fan. Matter of fact, I watched all of the ABC soaps, All My Children, One Life, and obviously GH, and I love John McVane, and like you said, when the whole A Prospect Park mess happened, it just got to be a mess, you know what I mean?
Yeah, most definitely. I was really, really, really excited about Sam and McVane, because not only, and I think this is the big thing, was the difference between Sam and McVane and Sam and Silas, is that Sam and McVane had serious, they had a nice organic buildup. They had the obvious tree that the two actors share. And it was really believable. Even with all the things going on with Jason, it was really believable that Sam was starting to have this attraction and fall for this guy, you know? Whereas Sam and Silas felt so much forced, and I know that was, you know, that it was necessary because of
it was
the
necessary. It was necessary to do, but I mean, it was...
But
like
it was,
you said,
you know, it's... At some point, you see, you know, you can't blame Sam for backing off. It's like, okay, this guy I barely know, who I've decided I'm in love with, his dead wife is not so dead, and she's living here, and then he's going to make her feel guilty for backing off when he's still married. And, you know, it was a cluster of major proportions, and I think that's the point. But I also am not buying that they should be the end game either. You know, I'm not getting the, these two are meant for each other thing, because honestly, with a woman as smart, as competent, as, you know, active, and as well as knowing her own mind as Sam is, I can't find a compelling reason why she would go back into that mess.
So
we'll see. I mean, it's not like they were so connected over a long period of time. I mean, it was, you know, they barely know each other. So I know that there's a lot of people out there that disagree, that I'll probably get a lot of visits on my timeline now, but but you know,
come at us, we don't care.
I'm just not feeling it.
Right. And now, I know I'm about to step in it here, but what did you think about the Amaro Epiphany scene today?
You know, that was interesting. I really think it's like, you know, it's one of those things where it's what I call the toss-off scene. You know, they're trying to build little arcs, you know, to fulfill these contract obligations for these characters that they have signed here or whatever. So I appreciate that they've got some stuff going in the background. You know, that's typical soap, you know, method. You have your A player stories, you have your B stories,
B,
and then you've got
these
little small recurring arcs that are going on. And I do appreciate that. That said, and I appreciate that since they're not going to be on that often, that they have to be very simple and to the point. That said, either Milo is the dumbest person to ever dumb, ever, or you know, he was just being a dick. I mean, because, you know, the first thing I saw when they ended up at the gym, I was like, oh, yeah, this is going to end well.
Yeah,
you know, but
I think I put something on Twitter,
whole,
I go, I think I put,
whole,
this can't be good or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing with Epiphany, okay, great. He has the crush on Epiphany. They actually did a little bit of play that they built with that from their nurse's ball stuff, and okay. But B self, you know, they can't tell me Milo is not self-aware. He is a, he's what, a fitness trainer now? Isn't that what he does? He's a fitness trainer?
Yeah.
He can't tell me that he doesn't notice that his wannabe girlfriend is overweight, and he thinks the most effective thing he can do is take her to a gym.
Yeah, I know.
You know, so it was a very simplistic scenario that I felt was very, okay, we got to fill these things. What do I want to do? Oh, let's make the scene here. You know, I would have rather seen them at, you know, some type of restaurant, talking, trying to get to know one another.
Right.
You know, have some good character moments instead of the after-school special scene that we got, you know, today. That said, I'm always happy to, you know, to see those two actors work.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Because,
you know,
because I do like the characters. I do think they're good actors. Give them a little something that's, you know, that didn't feel like it was, you know, written in a poorly written fanfic, you know. It definitely did not do a service to their characters.
It didn't. I had Drew Cheatwood on the show about a year ago. The nicest, most personal guy you could probably ever hope for. So.
Yeah, he and his brother seem like really nice guys. So, you know,
the nicest, most personal guy probably ever. So.
Yeah, I always like seeing Max and Milo about there. I'm glad that they've got those. You know, soaps always need those recurring characters that are in the background that are there and that provide that continuity.
Right.
And even though they're all bobbed up, it is kind of comforting to know that they're, you know, that they're hanging around back there.
Exactly. So overall, what did you think of the week overall? As a whole.
Overall for the week, I mean, it was a solid week. It's, you know, they're definitely in the, I wouldn't say come down period, because GH has been pretty solid. And comparing it with Days and Bold and Beautiful, which are the other two shows I consistently watch, GH is really, it's really providing solid performances, solid writing. I mean, that you can't have every week where you're at Crichton Clark, you know, blowing things up and having a gunfight at the door, you know, that kind of thing. But but it definitely, I mean, it provided enough things, you know, the Alexis and Julian thing. I love the thread going on with Alexis and Julian and Ned and Olivia. I love that Wally Kurth is back a lot. I love that we have Ned back. I do wish that they were focusing a little bit more on making that a real quadrangle instead of an obvious one. Ned and Alexis are trying to hide around their attraction for other people with each other.
Right.
Because, I mean, Ned and Alexis could be fantastic, again, if they...
Absolutely, I agree.
...on the writing and the chemistry, because we've seen them be fantastic in the past.
I agree.
I do think it's an interesting approach, and I do think it's something that's realistic. You do see couples that try to recapture their magic again, and really what they're trying to do is hide themselves from something else. So we thought that that was nice. The Morgan and Ava stuff just sucked me right back in. Holy cow, what a great chemistry between those actors. I'm just, you know, I'm astounded every time I see those two. I never would have thought that that couple would have been something that was such an appeal for so many people, but they continue to be great. They can, you know, Morgan's taking care of Ava at the Brownstone. Another little nod that I'm glad they threw out there. It's just nice to have that kind of stuff around. And then, you know, Rosalie, who, I can't remember, Linda, what's the actress's name?
Tovar.
Yeah.
Linda Elena Tovar.
She is the best find of the year for GH.
I agree. 1,000%.
I mean, here she is going toe-to-toe with Michelle Stafford on a regular basis, and she does not back down a bit. That character is fantastic. The actress is fantastic. And you know, she's really kind of weaving in and out of the canvas, and that's going to be a good twist too. I love that, you know, she's about to be intertwined with Ava, you know, through Morgan, and you know they could even potentially go a triangle in that direction. So you know, there's some really really cool things going on with GH right now, and I know that when I tune in, and just to say, Days of Our Lives, which I haven't watched today, which I understand there's a very big thing going on today with Dave. But, you know, I tuned in yesterday for that show, and about halfway through it, I just stopped it and deleted it off my DVR. I was like, okay, I'm done now. Because I was just so bored. GH, no matter what's happening that day, even on the quiet days like today, there's still something going on to hold my interest. There's something going on there that consistently holds my attention. And you really can't, it's almost where I find myself not even tweeting when I'm live tweeting for long periods of time because I don't want to miss anything. Or I have to back something up and watch it again because, you know, I missed something and, hey, I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss something because there's so many great things going on that, oh, and I had Carlos this week. My Carlos, he was around. And
I missed that. I had to miss Wednesday. And I think that was Wednesday, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. He had
Carlos was on, and I had to miss it, which sucked.
Right, he had some scenes with Sabrina, and he between the two of them, they realized that Ava had lied about being the one that arranged Sabrina and Patrick getting hit in the car.
Right.
You know, which caused Gabriel's premature birth. So
right.
They realized, and so Sabrina, you know, went into full panic mode because she had initiated a scenario where Ava. Where she was going to basically murder Ava's baby.
You know,
which, to be completely frank, I've loved that thread going on, too. Teresa Castillo is a great actress. She just has been given the most Princess Disney material out there that's just so not good. So it's great to see her really have been digging in, you know, either right before she left for maternity leave and now coming back with some darker material. So that character needed something darker because of what her...
It did.
But that changes you. And
But,
you know, it looks like they're probably going to default her right back to Disney Princess again, which hopefully they won't. Hopefully they'll keep some of that edge in there because it's really been, it's been a better character for it.
She needs the edginess.
Well, and I think that's why I always like Carlos around her because Sabrina immediately becomes 5 times more adult and 5 times edgier whenever Carlos is nearby. You look at him and you see what kind of guy he is, and you know that she's not necessarily the Disney princess they're trying to portray her to be because she's obviously had a relationship with this guy who's not necessarily, you know, citizen of the year.
The best guy in the world, exactly.
And he's, you know, I mean, but you see how much love he has for her, and it just really, it makes her a more interesting and a better character. So, you know, we hear some of that, even just the short stints, you know, with Carlos there. I wish they would bring him back more often because he's fantastic. But, yeah, I mean, and then, you know, the Carly and Sunny stuff, But they're doing that to build up so when Michael finds out about it, he can disown them and never go back to them. I'm good with that. So, you know, and I mean, it's really set up some great material, like I said, for Roger Howard. So this is... I mean, GH is firing right now. It's firing on all cylinders.
It is. I agree 100%.
Of the three soaps that I watch, I have to say it's the most enjoyable one right now.
No.
So,
I think I'm going to go ahead and let you go. because I need to make a few announcements and kind of wrap up here. But it's always a pleasure having you on, and you're more than welcome to come crash our craziness anytime.
Well, thank you for having me. Like I said, it's always fun. I love talking about something that I love with other people that love it too. So it's, you know, always fun to talk about soaps. It's always great to be able to talk with you guys. You know, I always enjoy when I'm hanging out with Emily too. And I'm very happy that you guys let me come on and play with you because it's a lot of fun. So thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
All right. I'll talk to you later, Kathy.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right, love you, girl. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed our kind of shortened GH recap show today with one of my very dear friends, Kathy. I think I wanted to make a few announcements real quick. This Tuesday, we have singer-songwriter Ashley Lizette on the show with us. And we have also, on the 21st, we have the super sweet, a super talented, a singer-songwriter, Carrie Ann Jean on the show with us. And so you most definitely don't want to miss any of those shows. And of course, I'll be, as always, out there on Twitter, tweeting about the show, promoting the show. So if you want to catch any of these shows, just go to blogtalkradio.com/whatdayswithmurph. And we have nearly 100 shows for you to browse through and listen to. And with that, I'm rambling at this point, so I'm going to end the episode right here. You've been listening to Weekdays with Murph. Thank you, and goodbye.